Open Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Another Voss maneuver. Robin Voss, illegitimate Speaker of the Assembly from a gerrymandered district himself, of a gerrymandered majority, illegitimate. They are conducting a legislative study on voting in nursing homes. They're picking up on the Republican lie that there was fraud in the election and that the certifications were fraudulent. And because this is Wisconsin and not Texas or Georgia, because we have a Democratic governor, they can't get away with a lot of malarkey. But one of the things they're doing to keep the lie alive is, quote, studying, end quote, studying. Why don't you send some middle school kids there and have them do a term paper, okay? Studying voting in nursing homes. You know, duh. Old people like to vote. They vote in large numbers. They like to vote in large numbers. And so they vote in nursing homes. So what? Give me a break. Give me a break. If your grandparents are in a nursing home, you think they have some fraud going on, you know, somebody's paying them. Give me a break. Give me a break. Well, here's the issue that they're ginning up, okay? At present, poll workers go in. And so they'll go to ABC Nursing Home, and then they're supposed to visit with the elderly people and then see if they can vote by mail or be taken down a van in person. And if they can't, only then can they mail them absentee ballots. During COVID, the nursing homes wouldn't let anybody in. During COVID, the nursing homes wouldn't let relatives in. The fact is, there were COVID cases that killed people in nursing homes. So what poll workers did was they said, well, we can't go in, so we're going to mail them absentee ballots. Well, that's why you have absentee ballots. So they would mail them to the nursing homes. The nursing homes, they'd come in the mail, so they would go to the individual recipients. They'd fill them out, put a stamp on them, mail them back. And if it said that you don't need a stamp, that it's paid for by the other side, the recipient, great, then they wouldn't do that. But they'd mail them back. Okay. Republicans didn't like that because they were afraid that with their being mailed, more people would vote than would otherwise. In other words, because they didn't ask for the absentee ballot, because they didn't ask for it, somehow that's a bad thing. So what they should do is, okay, the poll workers can't go in. They should lie in the weeds, sit back. And then, you know, Mabel and Fred, you know, in the nursing homes are going, well, how do I vote? And, you know, they're not going to get around to it, some of them. Now, the stupid thing is that elderly people vote in higher numbers than younger people. That's just a fact. And it's also a fact that typically in the past, elderly people voted Republican more than Democratic. So the fact is that if elderly people are starting to vote more Democratic, it's because they're aware of the news, they read papers, they watch the news, and they didn't like Trump. Things he said and did, betraying us to the Russians, busting our alliances, dividing us racially, they didn't like him. My advice to the Republican Party is clean up your act. Do something different that appeals to people. I mean, that's the idea of politics. But no, what the legislature is doing to set up legislation so that if they ever get a Republican governor again, to set up legislation, what's going to happen is poll workers are going to lie in the weeds. They're going to sit back. And if Fred and Mabel don't put in a request, the heck with them. And if they do put in a request, well, then they'll go look at them, say, you surely want to do that? What, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's basically interfering in voting in nursing homes. That's what it's doing. It's interfering with the elderly and frequently handicapped or disabled people. You know, they can't get to the polls. I mean, half of them are worried about their hip breaking, you know, if they have to walk a while. The other half just don't feel like it. You know, they may have COPD. Who knows what they have? Get them an absentee ballot. And if a healthcare aide helps them fill it out, so what? So what? So what? They say, I want to vote for this one. Okay, they mark the box, blah, blah, blah. This is not something that rises to the level of a need to occupy a legislative committee who are so lazy they haven't worked in 8 months. And it's not the Democrats who are lazy. They wanted to work. Republicans didn't want to work. They wanted to lie in the weeds, do nothing, take shots at Tony Evers and the Democrats, and vandalize the state. I mean, that's basically what they did. Basically what they did. So stand by. There's another program I want to mention and explain. Under COVID relief, as you know, $1.9 trillion, a lot of money went to schools around the country. Went to schools. Why did it go to schools? Because a lot of schools were online. They were virtual. When you're going to bring kids back, it's expensive to retrofit the classrooms in some cases to make sure there's social distancing, you know, barriers, that kind of thing. A lot of poor kids don't have computers. So you know something? The truth is that you can say all you want about virtual instruction, but if you don't have a computer, you're out of luck. You are out of luck, okay? A lot of kids don't have a computer. Anyway, bottom line, here's the deal. In the distribution around Wisconsin, it's done taking into account the poverty level of the students. Milwaukee got the most. It got $797 million. That comes out to about $11,242 a student. It's a lot of money. Okay, it's cool. A lot of money. McFarland, a suburb or exurb of Madison, gets $107 per student. So Milwaukee gets $11,242 per student. McFarland gets $107 per student. Why is that? It's a huge disparity, huge disparity. Why is that? That is because 83% of Milwaukee kids live below the poverty line. 83% of the school kids in Milwaukee public schools live below the poverty line. Poverty line. The federal poverty line is about $27,000 a year for a family. The state, it's lower than that, in the low 20s. Try living on that and try buying a computer for your kids, okay? In addition to that, believe it or not, there is a fairly disturbingly large percentage of those kids who are homeless. Now, when you were growing up, think about what it would have been like to be homeless and go to school. You know, living in a shelter, a different one every night. In warm weather, your parents, or your mother usually, there's no father, takes you under a bridge, and there's a cardboard box you sleep in. And you're in middle school or fifth grade. You know, usually you're worried about, you know, basically, how do I look? You know, do the boys or the girls like me? Blah, blah, blah. Am I going to be popular? How about they know that you slept under a bridge in a cardboard box? Okay. And I'll tell you something. This is an impactful thing. Our county executive, David Crowley, is a very, very good guy, did a piece over here in the paper disclosing that when he was a kid, I think he was in middle school, or he was either like eighth grade or ninth grade, his family was evicted. His mother and the kids were evicted. They came home one day and their furniture was on the front lawn. And there was a lock on the front door and a sheriff's notice because she was behind in her payments. So what do they do? He got so angry and sad, he walked away. You know, they get put in shelters, you know, blah, blah, blah. Try going to school like that. Try studying algebra or Latin. Try studying English or how to read or write. 83% of Milwaukee kids below the poverty level. 83%. And that is why Milwaukee is going to get $11,242 per student. And that's why McFarland gets $107. Because the idea is not some kind of, let's just pump money into every school no matter what. Although all schools do need money. All schools do need money. Our universities need money. But when you have a special case, 83% of kids below the poverty line, and a disturbingly large number of them, I'm not talking about a huge percentage of them, but any kid who's homeless is too much, even one. Going to shelters, frequently running away, being abused, sleeping under a bridge in a cardboard box, being evicted, the humiliation. I mean, think of your lack of confidence sometimes in middle school and high school. Well, it would be on steroids if you were homeless. Believe me, it'd be on steroids. If they're going to be virtually instructed, they've got to have a computer of some sort, just an issue, a cheapest one maybe, but or some place to go. You know, there are boys and girls clubs, but then you have pandemic issues there too. Anyway, no easy solution. That's what's happened in the distribution of this aid. And the Republicans, of course, saying, no, it shouldn't take into account poverty. You're talking about kids here. And I mean, you're talking about kids here and kids being able to be educated. And no amount of money can make up for a lot of the structural social problems we have. I understand that. But if you're going to retrofit schools and do a lot of things like that, I mean, it has to be done. If you're going to get technology to kids, it has to be done. Only the federal government can do it. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.